say, hi, my name's Peter, this is Cici and Tasos, and they were lucky enough to be able to get into the country to get a visa and to do this tour, but that's not always the case. It doesn't always work out that way, because it's long been one of the U.S. government, part of their repressive strategies, to try to insulate the domestic population from any radical influences and ideas coming from abroad. One example of that is the Austrian anarchist Gabriel Kuhn was supposed to be doing a tour for his new books around the States, and he got put on a terror no-fly list. So he had to cancel his tour. He couldn't come over. because it's important to, you know, try to beat them at every turn, every time they try to repress us, we've been destroying his books on this tour. He just came out, three of his books are Life Under the Jolly Roger, which is a historical analysis about piracy and anti-capitalism and rebellion, a translation of the writings of Gustav Landauer, who was a really influential German anarchist and contemporary of Rosa Luxemburg, and then Sober Living for the Revolution, which is about straight edge and revolutionary politics. So right now we got one of those books on the back table there, and then you know, others will be picking up in San Francisco and distributing. We also have some flyers about about that usage of the terrorist red violet that we'll leave here. So let's see, and then yeah, on the back table there. Did you want to say
something? I just had a question. I was going to ask if I could record, do some audio recording of the talk.
Okay. Does anyone, how do people feel about that?
I do, like, I write for the independent media.
Can we have this material also?
Yeah, sure. I'll come make it available.
Okay, no problem.
Oh, one more thing. Another thing real quick, especially in knowing that how difficult it is for them to come out here, and they came all the way from a whole other continent and such. I should have announced this earlier, but we're going to try to do some, like, a collective donation and such. So before you leave, try to throw some money out there on the table. I'll try to get a hat together and stuff too. So.
And also on the table there, we have a distro. Some of that stuff is for free. Other things we're selling. Some of it's my books. Other things are things we consider worthwhile. We're trying to get out there. If you're not sure what to do, there's also So anyways. We're going to be talking about the social insurrection in Greece, which really came to world attention after the killing on December 6, 2008, of a 15-year-old in Exarchia, which is sort of the counterculture and really rebellious neighborhood in Athens, in the center of Athens, that's very much associated with the anarchists. And after that, there were 3 weeks of major rioting, and that, it sort of disappeared largely from international attention, but these social struggles are still continuing and a lot more stronger than before December, so in a lot of ways they won. And what we want to do is talk about where that came from, why it was possible, and then what's been happening with that, and what directions it went. a lot of times Greece especially, and rebellions in other countries in general, get really romanticized. Most of what we find out about them comes just through these images without much actual political content or explanation. And on the one hand, we really want to de-romanticize and demystify what happened in Greece. And we want to show that the rebellion and insurrection is something that's possible everywhere. On the other hand, we don't want to pass off the idea that what worked in Greece would work easily anywhere else, that something can be taken out of its context and just reproduced elsewhere. So what we're going to try to do is show the relationship between this historical and political context and what happened, and then also how anarchists there have shaped that political and historical context. That culture and history aren't just something that fall down from the sky in some essential form, but it's something that if we don't miss the train, that we have a hand in creating. And that constantly the government and the capitalists are always trying to re-engineer in order to create histories and to create cultures that are not supportive of rebellion. To help us do that, we might also make some references to other countries, to some sort of continuum. Cici spent 7 years in the UK as an active anarchist, in addition to the rest of her life in Greece, and I live in Barcelona for the past 3 years, so we might refer to those other countries, because the UK is a country with no cultural support for rebellion, and then Barcelona is a city that's well known historically for having really strong social struggles, but these are struggles that have really been suppressed over recent years. And there are some signs, however, that anarchists are fighting back to reverse that process. So in this way, we don't just want to give information about what's happening in Greece, because that's very interesting, but ultimately it's useless. We want to really encourage critical thinking about insurrections, and which would hopefully be useful for y'all here for spreading rebellions here. I think it's best if we start out just asking y'all what you know already and what questions you have in terms of why this happened, where it came from, what's happening now, what were its successes, what were its failures. So just shout out any questions that you have, and then at a certain point we'll jump in there and start answering those.
I'd like to start somewhere around like the historical context of this, and the growth of the anarchist movement, specifically since the fall of the junta, and the role in which we talked about this a little at dinner, but how that played into the growth of the anarchist movement, and the history of like fascism in Greece, and why like why the general public is how views the anarchist movement.
First, we want to introduce ourselves. My name is Tarsus Agris, her name is Sissi Zero, and we come from a collective that name is Void Network, that is a cultural and political and social collective that is working for 20 years now in Athens. And we have also different sections after 2000 in England, in New York, and in Brazil. The ideas that we're going to speak tonight, they are coming from the insurrectionary political movement of Greece. But you have to understand that there is not existing such a thing like a movement in Greece, because all the groups and the affinity groups and the small collectives, they are taking care of the movement, and they are the ones that they produce the analysis and the ideas and the initiatives of the movement. So it doesn't exist. So it doesn't exist a specific idea or an ideology that is behind our logic. Okay. Also, we have to say to you that in the next week it's going to appear from AK Press one book that the name is We Are Animals from the Future, the Greek December Revolt of 2008. And to understand our logic also, this book, it's constituted by interviews, because there is not existing a specific analysis or a specific idea that can cover a whole insurrection. This means that many different people, they have different ideas, different perspectives, and we try through this book to give chances to all these different ideas to appear, also including speeches from and interviews from grandmothers or from conservative people, as to succeed to have as a more general view, to offer a general view. When we started to create this book, we understood that many people, they had two main misunderstandings. One, that many people in the foreign countries, like in the outside from Greece, the one misunderstanding was that mainly their information was coming through the images of riots, that is the more publicized images. Okay, so this means that many people, maybe they don't know what is hiding behind these riots. I mean, how these riots appear, how this happening, what is the political meaning or the political work behind this. And also, another thing is that many people, they lack the basic knowledge of Greek history of the movements, like the history of the political movements of Greece. I will make just a very small introduction. I will just say to you that there is two different periods of the anarchist movement in Greece. One, it is before 1936, that it was anarcho-communist, anarcho-syndicalism, and all the classical movements of the classical period of anarchism. You have to understand that when the Greek anarchist movement and also the communist movement, they were ready to make their own revolution in Greece, during the 1936, we had dictatorship. Immediately, the dictatorship appeared as to do not happen revolution in Greece. In the same way, when the Greek society was ready to make their own 1968, in 1967 also we had dictatorship in Greece, as to do not happen the insurrection, the general social insurrection in Greece. Just to cover very fastly these years, we can understand that the communists, they attacked very hard during the resistance period against the Nazis to all the kind of anarchists and Trotskyists, and they murdered many of them. The anarchist movement disappeared completely during the Second World War, and during the 50s and the 60s, their power was very, very small. This means that only some romantic poets, some anarchist poets, they kept just the ideas of anarchism alive. And it was only the cultural movement that appeared during the 60s that brought back this feeling of liberty, that brought back again this emancipatory movements, the movements for emancipation that appeared, the social movements, brought back the anarchism. So you have to understand that from the period of this dictatorship, from 67 to 74, the existence of the anarchists was very small, but these few anarchists that were existing, they were very much active, they were thinkers, they were starting distributing the first pamphlets, and also they were influenced by the movements of Italian Autonomia, and also the movements of international situationists. As also the classical anarchy, Malatesta, Kropotkin, Bakunin. This was the main influences. So when happened the big rising of the students of the Polytechnic University in 1974, that was one of the main reasons that the dictatorship fell down. There participated 50, maybe 50, 60 anarchists, that they had very much influence to the general assemblies, that most of the general assemblies, the people that they participated in this struggle, we have to understand that there was leftists, autonomous leftists, libertarian Marxists, people that they had mainly Marxist and Maoist and Leninist influences. But the spirit of empowerment that the anarchists they gave to this struggle of, that it took place for 3-4 days for the falling of the dictatorship, like, there was like 10,000, 15,000 people that they gathered there and participated in these riots. It was very influential, and there it was the first time that appeared these big banners that was saying "down with authority," general social insurrection. Like there was the first time that appeared the anarchist slogans and the anarchist banners inside this. During this fight, this riot. So when the dictatorship fall, the anarchists, this that mainly did in the beginning, it was to start to have publications. They started to have like to bring again back in Greece the anarchist literature, and also to classical literature, are also insurrectionist, like autonomous insurrectionist literature, and also the Situationist. Situationist literature. Guy Debord, Raoul van den Gemmen, etc. Another strategy that they had, it was that they appeared after 74 anarchist autonomous groups inside the universities. These groups, they were small in the beginning, they had small influence, but through the strong efforts and also through the commitment and also the creativity and also the spreading of ideas and the big publications, many free publications that they were distributing inside the university, and also through the power, the empowerment to the general student movements, like to the students, like the empowerment of like the feeling that we can fight and we can win. They succeeded to gain more and more power and more influence until 79 and 80. That was the first year that the leftists, the autonomous leftists, the libertarian Marxists, and also the anarchists, they succeeded to occupy all the universities of the country for first time for 3 months. That was a very big, great student emancipatory student movement. This continued with more struggles, created small social centers. After 80s appeared the Exarchia Square area, that it is the first period that anarchists and libertarian communists and autonomists, they start to gather in Exarchia Square, because before it was like an area around Acropolis that the people were gathering during dictatorship and during the 70s, and when the government decided to make this a touristic zone, the people they started to gather in Exarchia. This was one of the main reasons that the people they started to gather in Exarchia. This an area like Exarchia existed also in the 60s and the 70s. It was a mixture of, how to say, like philosophy, politics, fun, getting drunk, hang around, meeting people, all this together, you know, it was like a social meeting point for underground cultures. So this occupation of all universities of the country happened in 79, happened in 80, happened again in 85, and it happened very, very strong in 1990, that it was the stop of the privatization of education that enforced, like, it was so huge movement, like, because in 1990 it was the first year, and that's why I say, you know, like, that in 15 years the movement itself succeeded to be so public, so popularized, that in 1990 it was the first year that all the students of high schools occupied all the high schools of the country, and they kept them occupied for 3 months. Like blocked, finished. Black flags in front of the universities and of the high schools, all the high schools and the universities of the country closed for 3 months. So in this way, this stopped the privatization of education, created a political and social background for all the society, that the university will be forever for free, the people they will not be in the university, the food in the university they will be for free, and not only the public restaurants of the universities, they will give also free food to all the poor people and all the poor immigrants, and whoever is in great need that it needs to have some food that day, the university restaurant has the obligation to give also free food to poor people, to people in need. No one can throw away anybody from the restaurant of the university if someone asks for food from the restaurant of the university. This was something like very important for the student movement, you know, to make the presidents and the academic society to understand the social obligations and the public obligations of the university. That the university is a public space, it is a space for political work. Many political groups that they don't have spaces to participate and to organize in other places, they have to get organized in the university, because the university is a space of ideas, so it is a space also of radical ideas, ideas that they cannot be accommodated in other areas and in other places. This was very important, the academic society of the country and the ministers of education and all the authorities and the regime, to understand that the university doesn't belong to the regime, it belongs to the people, it belongs to the society. All this struggle also continued into the creation of asylum. The asylum, it was not like a gift that fall from the sky from the saint, anarchist saints Bakunin or somebody for the benefit of the anarchist organizers or something, you know. It was a fact, a phenomenon that appeared through the social struggles and through the student struggle for political life inside the university and for social life inside the university. This was like the first step in 1990, the first step that the anarchist movement started to get public, to have influence into the public life, to produce new social context, to produce new political context. Like to do not just follow us, to resist from some attack of the regime against the people, like we oblige you to pay 30% more payment in the university, so the people mobilize against this, you know. But in the opposite, the movement produced new ideas, produced new ways of public life, and produced political power. And because the student movement was very much open to the society, and many organizations and many collectives and many groups they were organizing also inside the university, this was the way that it was not only just student fight, student struggle, but it was a general social struggle for emancipation. This, just to go a little bit faster, you know, about the history, in 2006 and 2007 also, all the universities of the country and the high schools also occupied, because the government tried to oblige the same rules like they tried to oblige in a way here, like conservatism, like as much as the students to be like controlled and focus only into the studies and nothing else, no free time, like intense of the studying, and also like to try to separate the students from the public life. And also, it was very important that the struggle, it was against the conservatism of the whole society. That it was a movement of the self-existence of the young people, of the youth. That we are existing and this is our ideas, this is what we fight for. And these people that they participated in 2006 and 2007 in this student fight, they were the thousands and the thousands of the people that they participated in the revolt of December, together with the young high school students, and even the younger, like 15 years old, 15 years old people, young people, that they had the experience and the connection with these ideas, and they were influenced by this of all these years, because it is like a tradition, it is like a history inside the Greek society. So the young people, they were also influenced by these ideas. So mainly it was like the anarchists, the libertarian autonomous communists, the libertarian communists, and the young people and the immigrants that they participated in 2008. And they still are on the streets.
Are there any other questions?
I wanted to ask, because I haven't heard anything about it, obviously. Like you said, all we see are these pictures of riots. What are some of the community organizing or like community building actions that have been happening in Greece, led by the anarchist communes or the student movement?
Can you say again your question? The community, you said community.
Community organizing, what are some of the things that are happening right now?
But how do you clarify the community organizing?
Like community space, free space, and things like that.
Free space is getting immigrant groups together with student groups, and or for example, free schools or free lunches. Like in here we have, and you heard of Food Not Bombs.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that going on in Greece? Because we haven't.
There are existing social centers. The social centers existing with two strategies. There are existing social centers that they are occupied spaces. Many of these spaces maybe belong to government, maybe belong to some rich people. Occupied social centers. And in the areas that it is very difficult to make occupation, to make squat, to make occupation in the social center, for the creation of a social center, the people, the community, the collective, they pay rent for this. In these social centers, there are spaces for political work, political assemblies for different social struggles. Another thing very important is that they produce very much cultural work. They invite people to they offer a stage, they offer a place that the young people and older people, they can be creative, making concerts, making speech, making talk, showing their own films. It is like a cultural center also in a way. Also other things that they do it is that they offer very much free lessons. Like there are whoever knows something, organize a workshop, knows it in high quality, like knows it good, organize a free lesson that keeps going on maybe for years, some of these lessons, And usually it is in the three levels, like the first level, like the people that they don't know something about this thing, the people that they have a middle knowledge about this thing, and the people that they have a higher knowledge of this thing, and they want to evolve all together in a way. So, in these workshops, maybe a social center maybe can have 10 different things like this. So maybe like some social centers they have like 200 or 300 students, like people that they go there for the free workshop, for the lessons. And also another thing, it is the solidarity to the immigrants and also the anti-fascist struggle in the neighborhood or in the area of this social center, like the social center in this area is an observatory of police brutality and of fascist activity or racistic activity. They are they take care of the neighborhood, like to do not appear this kind of phenomena.
In Greece, there is no monothematic campaigns which operates some monothematic communities. For example, there is no free school, but there is a social center that offers free lessons, but also offers free lessons, but also offers rooms for lectures or a room for a drama, for dance, or for concerts. There is no a community garden, for example, but there are projects that are happening inside squads and social centers, for example, about vegetarian or vegan, or to community kitchen, for example, sometimes. But also a project that is happening sometimes, many people, they cook together as a community kitchen, and they bring all the food together down in the main squares. And but these people, they don't do only this free kitchen, but they are also participating in many other campaigns. So this is a difference here from the States and in Greece, that there is no some communities that they are working only upon one subject, you know? It is a social, there are people and social centers that they hug everything together at the same time, and they try to evolve and bring more projects together. Yes, but before you have a question, all this history that Tassos told, the Greeks kept it, keep it alive. So they didn't stop to fight, they didn't stop to open new social centers, they didn't stop to share leaflets and put up in the wall posters. So. So it is a constant procedure of struggle. It didn't finish, but we keep the memory alive.
It is like, for example, the, every year is happening on the 17th of November, big demonstrations that maybe more than 50,000 people they participate. And for many years it was happening at the end of this demonstration, very big riots, as a message of all the radical people against the democracy. Like expressing the idea and defend, like fighting for the idea that democracy is just another phase of dictatorship. That when the elite feels really scared, just pass into dictatorship. And as long as there doesn't exist a serious and powerful social movement, the democracy is just to sustain the regime and the interests of the rich people. You know? Just to sustain the regime. When the people arise, when a strong social movement exists, then the next tool that the elite has in their hands is the dictators. So we keep this memory alive. We organize as much as possible historical events in a way, and also in our posters we refer to older struggles. And this is one of the things that I have, like, we have to say thank you, because you have an amazing history of social struggles. And for us, for example, 1st of May, Chicago. It is of Chicago riots. It is in our DNA. You know, this struggle runs in our blood.
And till now, we make demonstrations and big riots and many info points about this May Day.
And also, like the indigenous struggle, also it is something like incredible for us, you know, that influenced very much the way that we defend, that we fight for the defense of the immigrants, you know. And many projects and many struggles that happened in America, they have like their influence, and it is our own history also. But also, our struggle, it is this that we can say cultural and historically situated. This means that we try to understand as more as possible the local society, to hear the problems of the local society, and to mobilize according to their problems. So this is the main ideas behind, you know, the community life. You know, the community life, it is also like keeping the memory alive, also fighting against racism, against fascism, you know, against some elements of the society, sometimes fighting against even the society, the way, like when the society has some faces that there are reactionary, and but also to through the actions and through the mobilizing and through the counter information to bring awareness, to bring memory, and to bring also benefit, like social awareness to the society.
Also, a lot of those projects happen through like a large open assembly, and the anarchists often kind of organize in small affinity groups, very, very fragmented, so there's no central organization, there's no central hub, but it's very, very hyper-decentralized. And so a group of friends will make an affinity group, and that doesn't just mean an informal group of friends, but it's something that actually involves a lot of work of talking and discussing and deepening a theoretical analysis that allows for a much greater fluidity of action and immediacy of response. And then one affinity group, for example, might try to participate in multiple of these other assemblies, by sending one person from the affinity group to each assembly, and thus learn from these different experiences, and then also share their sort of collective analysis in these other assemblies. And then many of the assemblies exist less to decide logistical matters in comparison with how it often works here, and more also to talk about what this particular social center or campaign in solidarity with a worker who's been fired or something like this, what this has to do with society at large, what's the proper way to understand it, things like this. And so there'll be really long assemblies, like 4 or 5 hours of just everybody talking, and they'll just explain their analysis of the situation and share this without really trying to debate and come to one answer, but kind of share everyone's perspectives in that way, like enriching all of their perspectives. And then after that, instead of agreeing on one course of action, usually what happens is that it'll go back to all of the different groups that are participating, and each group, based on their understanding of how everyone sees the problem and also having like a good expectation for how different groups would react to certain actions, they each do their own actions. It might be making like a poster about this issue, but that also has a lot of text with their analysis, or like a flyer, or holding a protest. And if it's going to be a protest, then they all agree on the time and the place. But then they each come with their own analysis. They each come with their own flyers. So it's there's a pretty strong avoidance of any kind of unitary or centralizing tendency.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, this is like to understand how important it is the small group, the small initiative in the Greek insurrectionary political activity. It is that the small group finds the subject of the struggle, that maybe it comes from the university, maybe from the neighborhood, maybe from a general struggle, maybe from the world, maybe from the economy, maybe from the everyday life, from the environment. They find the subject of the struggle. They make a first draft analysis, then they invite the General Assembly, they publicize very, very much the announcement of the invitation for the General Assembly. All the groups they meet, they just share their own perceptions, and they just decide the same day, at the same hour, at the same moment of the demonstration, for example. Or they go in the central square of the city and they make a megaphone and they speak to the people. But then after this decision, and after this long process of collective intelligence, because in this way they build collective intelligence, they go back to their own small groups and they mobilize with their own ways. They make their own analysis and they make publicity, like 10,000 flyers, 10,000 communities, each one of these communities. So in this way they build very much political power. And so in the end, after 1 month, when they come to the state, they have very big political power, because the society knows what they talk about. They have many different opinions expressed. It is not that we have just one idea altogether. It is just that we speak about this problem. We care about this problem. We have different opinions. So the society hears these opinions, and the society builds its own opinion about these different opinions about this specific problem. And also in this way, the small groups, they don't lose themselves inside general platforms or big organizations, or like feeling that your work is going just for the benefit of a big organization, and you never have the power of your opinion and the influence of your own analysis. The small groups tries to with many actions, maybe with attacks, maybe with counter information, with many different strategies, they try to participate with their own way into this during a period, into this struggle, and in this way the small group has a very strong influence, and it keeps your, it empowers the small group to continue to work and to exist.
I was wondering what connections are, how, or alternatively, how fractured the various sort of movements and cultures within anarchist movements in Greece are. What sort of, like, how connected is, student youth culture with and movement with the immigrant movement, with workers' movement, and such? Like, are those groups